The New York Yankees capped off a 9-game homestand by taking 2 out of 3 games against the Washington Nationals. I gotta hand it to them. They got the job done this weekend. We're gonna talk about the series and more on this brand new episode of the Pinstripe Talk podcast, which begins right now.
You are listening to the Pinstripe Talk podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to yet another edition of the Pinstripe Talk podcast, powered to you by Delahanty Media. I'm your host, Nick Delahanty. Before we get this show started, first and foremost, happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there, especially my own. Mom, you're the perfect fan. I love you to the moon and back. I appreciate everything you do for me on a daily basis. To all the moms out there, I hope you enjoyed your day, full of family, full of love. However you wanted to enjoy it, I hope you were able to do so. That's first and foremost. Can't forget the moms. We're going to get more into that as we talk about Sunday's game, because obviously Major League Baseball does a great job of honoring Mother's Day by having all the pink gear and whatnot. It's a really nice day around the game. I love seeing the pink bats. It just overall is one of the more special days throughout the game. Now, the main important objective of this show, obviously, is to talk about what the Yankees have been doing. And the Yankees capped off a 9-game homestand by taking 2 out of 3 games against the Washington Nationals. They ended the homestand with a 7-2 record, which is very good considering how the start to the season has gone. This Yankees team has not lost a series since April 18th. They have won 4 of those 6 series, tying the 2 that they did not win. So it looks like this team is starting to get back on track, and more reinforcements may be on the way. So our agenda, we're going to recap the 3-game set. We're going to talk about some of the key components of each game. And of course, we're going to look ahead to the Yankees' upcoming road trip, where they'll head to Tampa Bay to kick that thing off. Now, obviously, before we start the show, we got to do a little social media plug. We want you to interact with us on there. Find us on Twitter at PinstripeTalkND. That's the personal account of the show. And at Nick Delahanty is my personal account. You'll see me tweeting about the Yankees, about North Carolina, you name it. You'll see it on my Twitter feed. Make sure you hit that follow button. I love talking Yankees baseball with you guys. Also, we're on Facebook. Search up Pinstripe Talk Podcast. And our show is available on all podcasting platforms. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio. You name it, the show is there available for you. If you found us already, you're doing a great job. We appreciate you taking some time out of your busy schedule to talk some Yankees baseball with us, but your job is not done yet. Subscribe, rate, review. However you listen to the show, make sure you do those 3 things. They really go a long way in helping our show expand and grow. So do us that solid. Do that before or after you're done listening to the show today. All feedback is greatly appreciated. Now, I don't want to hold it up, and, you know, of course, I mentioned that we're part of the Delahanty Media brand, and to go to our website, DelahantyMedia.com, for all the latest news and updates on our show and everything regarding our brand. But I'm ready to talk some Yankees baseball, and let's jump right into this series. And coming in, obviously, if you're the Yankees, you want to win the series. My big thing, and I might be a little weird for this, and I'm sure others may feel the same, but when I go into a series, obviously I want them to sweep the series. But realistically, I know that that's very hard to do. It doesn't matter who's on the other side of the field, right? It could be the best team in the league. It could be the worst team in the league. You have to remember, you're still playing Major League Baseball caliber players. So going in somewhere and sweeping a team is not very easy. The Yankees were able to do it against Detroit to start off the homestand, but some teams, you know, are very tough to sweep. And you saw it, the Yankees couldn't sweep the Astros. They won the first 2 games, but the Astros were able to prevail in Game 3 of that series. So going into the National Series, my objective and my goal is to always just win the series. Take 2 of 3 games, or if the series is 4 games, take 3 of 4 games. That, to me, is crucial, because the more series you win, they start to add up. And yes, you may say, you know, one series in a 162-game slate doesn't really mean much, but in the end of things, it does, because that 1 or 2 games that you may have dropped that you should have won could come back to haunt you. Game 1 was one of those games that I think haunted us all that were watching. And yes, there was action early on in the game. It ended up being a 3-3 game going into the eighth inning. But the old saying, and I hate to use it because this was what was going through my mind, the New York Yankees wheels completely and utterly came off the bus. The eighth inning, the Nationals scored 6 runs. In the ninth inning, they scored 2 en route to an 11-4 victory. Let's kind of jump into the scoring, and I'll give you guys a little bit of an update on how it went about. Okay? Bottom of the first. First batter of the game for the Yankees, DJ LeMahieu, pokes a home run to right field, gave the Yankees an early lead. The Nationals would quickly respond. Josh Bell hits a home run to center field, 423 feet, and then Yan Gomes hit a home run to left field, scoring Schwarber. That gave the Nationals a 3-1 lead. In the bottom half of the inning, Gary Sanchez hit a home run to left field, making it 3-2. And it wasn't until the sixth when DJ LeMahieu hit his second homer of the game to tie things up at 3. Now, the eighth inning is where it gets funky. Jonathan Loaisiga comes in. Johnny Loaisiga's been lethal all year. The guy we know and love, right? Yankees defense really does not help him. The Yankees commit 3 errors in the inning. One by Judge, one by LeMahieu, one by Torres. 3 errors. And that did not help their cause. A little bit of the scoring update. Turner singles to center field, followed by a Josh Harrison homer that scored 3, including himself. Then you got a Schwarber single to right center field, scored another run. And then Castro scores on an error by Torres later on in the inning. That made it 9-3, and that basically put the game out of reach. And in the ninth, Juan Soto, who I think is one of the best young players in baseball, I think a lot of people agree with that, but he's a budding superstar, and he's only going to get better from here. He homers to center field and made it 11-3. Yankees added a run in the bottom half of the ninth on a Frazier single, but it wasn't enough. That was your ball game. Yankees go on to lose this one 11-4. Jameson Taillon was on the mound for the Yankees, and other than that second inning, he was solid. Went 6 1/3, allowed just 3 hits. Remember, 2 of them came via the long ball. So the long ball definitely did hurt him in this one. Other than that, he was solid. Seems like Taillon's starting to get on a little bit of a groove here, but ultimately left this one with a no decision, and things kind of spiraled out of control once he left the game. Peralta came in, was able to finish the seventh inning, and then Loaisiga had arguably his worst outing in quite some time, allowed 4 earned runs, 5 runs in general. The Yankees defense obviously didn't help him, but he did get hit around a little bit. Not a good sign. And then Sessa came in to throw the final 1 2/3. He let up the home run to Soto. He wasn't as sharp as he's been. The Yankees pitching was unable to bail them out of this one, which is very unorthodox considering that we're always talking about how good the Yankees bullpen has been. Offensively, Yankees only had 5 hits in the ballgame, 3 of which came off the bat of DJ LeMahieu. He was the star, had the 2 home runs. Really was the Yankees offense in this one. We mentioned earlier that Frazier had the RBI single in the ninth, but other than that, Yankees weren't able to do much. They dropped game 1 11-4. Obviously, that one inning essentially killed the momentum, and most times than none, the Yankees bullpen is going to come in and keep them in the game. So yes, it's concerning. Yes, it's frustrating. Yes, the defensive struggles are annoying, but you take it as it is. It wasn't the Yankees' final 2 innings. It wasn't the type of baseball that, you know, they've been playing of late. But ultimately, it's a game where those kind of things happen. You just got to chalk it up and head into the game on Saturday afternoon with a quick turnaround, trying to get things back on track. And the Yankees turned to Corey Kluber, who's been really good of late. Kluber put together, in my opinion, another good start. 5 2/3, allowed just 2 runs, struck out 6 national hitters in the process. He was solid. I feel like Kluber's starting to get back on track and figure things out. And for a guy that was out for such an extended period of time, you know, it's a matter of time before he can get back on track and start to be that Kluber that we know. Obviously, nobody, including myself, is expecting him to be that Cy Young pitcher from a couple of years ago. But The Yankees need him to be an effective guy every fifth day that could be reliable. And this is the kind of thing that I'm looking for, that reliability where Kluber can hand the ball to the strong part of the bullpen and they can get the job done. If you're looking at storylines for the first couple innings of the game, that has to be Max Scherzer. Pitched into the eighth inning, had the Yankees number, struck out 14 Yankees over 7 1/3. He was phenomenal. Yankees' only bit of offense against him came in the third inning when Kyle Higashioka homered to left field. At that point, the Yankees were down 1-0 because Kluber walked in Soto with the bases loaded. And from there, the Yankees' offense did not do anything until they got Scherzer out of the game. In the top of the sixth, Starlin Castro hit a single to center field, gave the Nationals a 2-1 lead. With their backs against the wall, in the bottom of the ninth, Gleyber Good singles to right field to tie up the game, scoring LeMahieu. We go to extras. Yes, we're going to get to it in a minute. I'm going to kind of hold my thoughts about the extra inning rule. Top of the 10th, Turner hits a sac fly, scoring Stevenson. The Nationals retake the lead at 3-2. After a couple failed bunt attempts from Mike Ford in the bottom of the 10th, he singles to left center field, scoring Frazier. We're going to the 11th. Nationals don't score in the top half. We go to the bottom half. Gleyber is the hero again. Hits a little dribbler down the third baseline. The pitcher is unable to field it. That's your ball game. LeMahieu scores. Yankees win. The Yankees win. Before we get into anything else, number one, still hate the extra inning rule. It benefited the Yankees here. Still hate the rule. Wish it wasn't the case. If you're going to have it in the game, at least wait until the 12th inning. I think that's plenty of time to say, you know what, the teams couldn't score. Let's speed this thing up. I hate that it's in the 10th inning. It bothers me. It frustrates me. I think it's a rule that Major League Baseball really has to look into. But again, I'm beating a dead horse here. I feel like a lot of people feel the same way. This time it didn't bite the Yankees, but in the future it most certainly could. So again, I don't like the rule at all. Brad Hand blows the save in the 9th inning, going back to the pitching side of things for the Nationals. Seems like he's a superstar against everybody else and against the Yankees. Really can't seem to figure it out. We're going to have more on Hand in Game 3 because he's an important figure as well in that one. But again, Yankees kind of had Brad Hand's number. They're able to score against him and tie the ball game back up. Let's look at the Yankees bullpen. After Kluber, they were dominant. We just talked about Game 1 where the bullpen wasn't as sharp as normal. Well, they were back on track in this one. Chad Green, an inning in a third, just allowed one hit, struck out two. Lucas Litke, who's been really good of late, two. Quality inning, struck out two, didn't allow anything else. Chapman comes in. He allowed an unearned run, obviously with the 10th inning rule, as you guys kind of figured. But other than that, he was very solid, not his normal Chapman or what you expect from Chapman, considering how well he's pitched this year, but he got the job done. And Wilson comes on for the 11th and throws a shutout inning. He ends up getting the win in this one. So again, the Yankees pitching really nice. You go from the two right-handed arms, you go Kluber and Green to the three lefties. So it was a really nice performance on the pitching side of things. Once again, the Yankees offense didn't do much. Got out hit 8-6. They only had 5 hits in game 1, 6 hits in game 2. Gleyber Torres was the hero. He had the 2 big hits. He was 2-for-5. Other than that, you had a couple of guys with one hit apiece. Giancarlo Stanton, who was rather hot coming into the series, cooled down a bit. He was 0-for through the first 2 games. But nonetheless, Yankees strike out 17 times. But if you're looking at the box score, you'll take the 4-3 win and definitely not complain about it as you head into the final game of the series, which was scheduled for Mother's Day in the Bronx. We talked about it earlier in the show, how Major League Baseball does a great job of honoring Mother's Day and even Father's Day later on in the season. It's just a nice thing to see the players wearing pink and, you know, you see all the messages to the moms out there. So it's a special day and you got to give credit. I know people didn't like it. I saw it on Twitter and social media, but I absolutely loved Gary Sanchez's catcher equipment. I thought it was really awesome. You know, for the day he was willing to wear it and it looked really good. So around the game, you see catchers kind of showing their flair and swagger with the pink gear. So I give them kudos for that. And I love the pink bats. I just really do. I love that touch. I think it's a great thing. And game 3 was very similar to game 2, where The offenses really didn't do much, and it came down to the Yankees' final at bat to get the job done. We really didn't have much early on. We got two really good pitching performances, one from Joe Ross. On the National side, he went 5 innings, only allowed 2 runs. Domingo Germán puts up another quality outing. He went 6 1/3. Seems like the Yankees left him in a little too long. I know the pitch count wasn't where, you know, you would anticipate a starter coming out. He only threw 80 pitches, but he did allow a 2-run homer to Schwarber in the 7th, where I felt like you could have went to a lefty there and neutralized Schwarber, especially with the lead. Regardless, the Yankees were able to come out with a 3-2 victory, and let's take you through that. Bottom of the 3rd, Aaron Hicks singles to center field, scoring Gardner. Yankees take a 1-0 lead. For the first time this season, Gleyber good. Gleyber Torres, is this man getting hot? I sure hope so. Gleyber hits his first homer of the season, a 411-foot shot to left field. Yankees go up 2-0. Now here's where it gets tricky. Against Germán, Schwarber hits a home run to right field. That ties up the game at 2. We go to the bottom of the 9th. Friendly facing Brad Hand on the mound. He comes in. The first batter he faces is Tyler Wade. Tyler Wade comes in the game earlier from Miguel Andujar. And I give Tyler Wade a lot of garbage, you know. You hear it all the time that I don't think he belongs on this roster. But works a 4-pitch walk to start the inning and got the Yankees in a really good spot to try to win this ballgame. And that's what they did. With Wade on base, Giancarlo Stanton hits a single to left field, scoring Wade. Ball game over. Yankees win in walk-off fashion for the 2nd straight day and secure a series victory against the Nationals, improving to 18-16 on the year, putting them in 2nd place in the American League East Division. Now, I mentioned earlier, Stanton didn't have the best series. He only had 1 hit through 3 games. However, his hit was a rather big one in this one because it got the Yankees the victory. Yankees offense, once again, held under 6 hits. They had 5 in this one. So if you're looking back, they had 5 in Game 1, 6 in Game 2, 5 in Game 3, 16 total hits on the weekend. I'm sure the Yankees need a little more offensive production and are definitely looking for that. But again, similar to Game 2, you'll definitely take the win in Game 3. No Aaron Judge in this one. Judge, as Aaron Boone said, was a day off and the lower body soreness. Boone, listen, you don't have to tell us that he's got lower body soreness. Just tell us it's an off day. We all understand. Just say he's got an off day. Nobody's going to complain. He did pinch hit later in the game. He walked. But again, don't tell us he's hurt. Don't make the fan base go crazy. That's all I'm asking. Listen, he could have an off day. Nobody's going to blame you. But just say, it's an off day. That's all we need to know. And again, Brad Hand blows the save. I guess he doesn't like pitching against the Yankees. I don't know. I really wish I could tell you because the Yankees seem to have his number. And listen, word of advice to him. Walking Tyler Wade to start the inning is never a good recipe for success. First of all, ideally, you want to pitch to Wade, which I don't know why you wouldn't. But lefty on lefty, you have the advantage. Why not pitch to him? It just didn't make any sense. I don't know if he just couldn't find the zone. Whatever the case may be, Hand was not very accurate. He ended up walking Judge right after that. So, as you can kind of tell, it's kind of just there. But I'm still kind of mind blown that, you know, he walked Tyler Wade to start the inning. I was kind of shocked when I saw that, to be quite honest with you. But regardless, we're not going to complain because obviously, help the Yankees get a victory. We are so happy with that. We'll take it. Germán was good, like I mentioned. Went 6 1/3. Really, the home run was the really big damage they did against them. I think that the Yankees wanted to see if they could get 7 out of them. Unfortunately, Schwarber got to him, and it was a little too late. But again, the Yankees bullpen comes in and does the job. Michael King goes an inning and a 3rd, allowed 2 hits, but only threw 13 pitches, 11 of which were strikes. And then Peralta came in to face Soto, only had to throw 1 pitch to get Soto to pop out. That was a big out for the Yankees. And then you turn the ball over to Chapman in the 9th. Not a save situation, but he comes in and puts up a 0, allowing the Yankees offense a chance to win the game in regulation. And that's what we like. We don't like that extra inning rule. That rule stinks. Get rid of it, or at least move it back. You know, that's what we're asking for. One thing of concern, Yankees strike out 27 times over the last two games of the series. Yes, we know that strikeouts are a big thing with this team. Regardless, you have to limit the strikeouts, and I think that's a big issue with this team because they need to put the ball in play to make things happen. Can't have these 10-plus strikeout games and expect to win. They got lucky, won two of the three games, but they have to figure it out. Limit the strikeouts. Obviously, we know that it's part of the game. We know it's part of this team, but find a way to limit them. Days like this, when you walk 10 times like the Yankees did, that's kind of eye-popping in itself that they are able to draw 10 walks in this one. They're very patient. Sometimes it comes back to haunt them, but in a situation like this, the Nationals pitching staff, mostly Joe Ross, really could not figure it out in regards to the walk. So for the Yankees, they were able to take advantage of it. Just weren't able to hit with runners in scoring position. We're just 2-for-9 in game 3, left 10 guys on base. So they're getting on base, which is what you want to see. However, it's something that the strikeouts really seem to irk me. And I don't know why, but I think that's a big issue with this team when they don't score many runs. They live on the home run and they die by the strikeout. It's in their DNA, but they have to kind of sharpen that up as we move forward. And again, we have some reinforcements coming. Miguel Andujar was optioned to Scranton after the third game of this series. It appears that Luke Voit is ready to return from injury. We do not have an official word yet, but all signs point to Voit being the guy they bring back up. That's a major, I mean major, boost for the Yankees. Now you may be asking, why don't they keep Andujar up? Because of the versatility and drop down Ford. Well, I think that it comes down to Ford could play first, LeMahieu could play third, and you still have the flexibility if needed, and you have Wade to fill in the holes wherever that may happen to be. And let's remember, Gio Urshela expected to be back. He missed a weekend with his injury, had a little knee problem. Yankees held him out. They didn't feel like it was an injured list situation. They're hoping to get Gio back for this week as well. So the Yankees lineup may be at full staff this week. That's some exciting thing to say. We've been waiting for this. Voit is a major piece. Remember, this guy won the home run crown for the American League last year. And it was only a 60-game season, but the guy absolutely mashed. The Yankees could definitely use that in the lineup and his energy that he brings to the table. Especially having two rather big series coming up in Tampa and then at Baltimore. The Yankees have an off day on Monday night. They'll travel to Tampa. First game is Tuesday night at 7 o'clock at the Trop. Jordan Montgomery gets the ball against Ryan Yarbrough. In Wednesday's matchup, same thing, 7:10, Yankees in Tampa. Gerrit Cole against Josh Fleming. And Thursday, the final game of the three-game set at 7 o'clock. That'll be Jameson Taillon against Rich Hill. Then the Yankees will go to Baltimore for a weekend matchup with the Orioles. That'll be a three-game set. Then they'll go to the new Texas Stadium for a four-game set in the middle of next week before heading home for a nice six-game homestand. So, looking at the Yankees homestand, this is a very important one, right? You're back over 500. You're playing better baseball. You're creeping up the division. You're getting an opportunity to make noise. And this is what we expected from this Yankee team early on in the year. We expected them to be good. But they got out of the gate slow. It's only a matter of time before they start picking things up. And what better place to pick things up than against the Tampa Bay Rays, who have had the Yankees' number of late. Hopefully, this middle-of-the-week series, heading into the weekend series with the Orioles, gets the Yankees on a track to the destiny to where they want to get. And of course, as all this happens, as more New York Yankees news updates, reports, game recaps, you name it, we're here to talk about it with you. If you haven't done so already, follow us on Twitter at PinstripeTalkND, my personal account at Nick Delahanty, and find us on Facebook by searching up Pinstripe Talk Podcast. Delahanty Media is live on Instagram. You can search up Delahanty Media to find us on there. And as always, find us on any podcasting platform of your choice, whether it's Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, you name it, our shows are available for you. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review. All your feedback is greatly appreciated. Our next show, coming after the Tampa series, we're anticipating that our show will be out on Friday after that series, sometime on Friday afternoon, because like we told you early in the year, our goal is to give you content after every series the Yankees play this year. It's going to be tough. Schedules are busy, but we got you covered. And as always, we thank you for taking some time out of your busy schedule to talk some Yankees baseball with us. I hope that you come back for more down the road. As always, this has been another episode of the Pinstripe Talk Podcast, powered to you by Delahanty Media. I am your host, Nick Delahanty. As I always like to say to end the show, let's go Yankees. Never forget that. We have a big one, and I mean big one, at the Trop this week. Let's see if the Yankees can get the job done. We'll talk to you guys really soon. Take care, everyone. Stay tuned for more Pinstripe Talk content coming your way this week. We'll talk to you really soon.